Lord, we come before you today. Please be our strength tonight. Just fill this room with your Spirit, Jesus. Help us to see you tonight. Just please. Thank you for your presence, God. Thank you that you're with us always. You're never going to leave us, never. Just help us to worship you. Give us worshiping hearts. Give us a united heart towards you always. Lord, be lifted up tonight and in all of our lives. Bless us tonight, Jesus. Amen. So I'm Jean Bor, or as many of you know, JB. And I go to Maryland Bible College and Seminary right here. I just finished my... Woo! Come on! And I just finished my third year, something I never would have thought I'm going to do, because I was going to like, oh, I'm a one and done, you know? And, well, I'm here. And I love what Paul says in 2 Corinthians, that our sufficiency is not from us, but he is the one who strengthens us. We could, like, what a great lesson in Bible college. You know, many people think, or I thought even, like, you come to Bible college to get to know the Bible. And that's true. But there's so much more to it. Like, the Bible is not the end. It's the means to get to know the living and holy God. And we learn to be in the presence and live every moment of every day in the presence of God. And we fail, but God is there and His grace is enough. And our sufficiency is not from ourselves, but it's from Him. And we could never do it, but He is there for us. And like, okay, how many Gospel of Mark fans do we have here? Because I love it. Gospel of Mark. You know why? The disciples are like world-class dummies, you know, like... Like, Jesus just does, like, the greatest miracle ever. And literally, like, 2 hours later, they, like, doubt him, you know? And, like, it happens in every chapter. And it's amazing, because that's, like, how I am and how we are. Like, God does something and we go on doubting. And I love Matthew 28. It says, like, after Jesus is resurrected, they all seen him, like, at least five times. And they're on the mount where Jesus is going to ascend to heaven. And you know what it says? But some doubted. But you know what? Jesus said, I'm good with this. I'm going to take these 12 people, and I'm going to make the greatest missionaries the world has ever seen, and they are the ones who turned the world upside down. And they are the disciples who doubted. And maybe like you and I can be like that tonight, that we doubt. But that's not a problem for God, because our sufficiency is from Him. And we could never do it, but He makes us able. And He is great, and we're going to keep on going. And we have the best church. And Pastor Schaller, thank you. The greatest pastor. Come on, let's give a hand for Pastor Schaller. And thank you all. Thank you for all the missionaries. Thank you for all of you for being here. Thank you for being available and going. And let's keep going. Let's keep pressing on. Amen? Amen.
Okay, I had two verses I wanted to go up there, but we'll pray and maybe they'll be up there by that time. And then I may not even use it. So, Father, thank you tonight for your grace, which is sufficient for us. Your strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, we will just have great joy and be glad, have pleasure, take pleasure. So we thank you tonight. Bless our night tonight. Speak to us through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for coming. Some of you travel very far to come, and really appreciate that. Thank you so much. Acts chapter 20. You don't have to turn there because I had some other verses I wanted to use, but they're not there or whatever. That's okay. This is what it says in Acts 20. Are they there? Oh, okay, great. They're right in front of me, too. Eyes. Acts chapter 20, verse 24 is one of my favorite verses for many years regarding missions. And this is what it says. And I like this. I want you to repeat this with me. None of these things move me. You ain't moving me. You ain't moving me. None of these things move me. I don't care what's going on the news, whatever, in situations, countries, turmoils, wars, all kinds of things happening, famines, diseases. Not moved. Not moved. No, we're still going. We're going into all the world. None of these things move me. Neither do I count my life precious or dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy. With what?
Joy.
I just don't want to run the race. I want to run the race with joy. You know, a person that already knows they've won, maybe they step into a race, they know they're the winner. You got joy. We won. Finished work, victory. Amen. I might finish my course with joy in the ministry that I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of grace. And the key thought in my mind has been today the importance of receiving the joy of Jesus Christ. Amen. Are you with me? Let me know. Are you here? Are you here? Yes, thank you. Okay. John 15, 11, 16, 24, and other portions talks about, if you have my joy, your joy will be full. Jesus is speaking about his joy that comes from his nature and character. Many people have a lot of joy, but what is the joy based upon? Circumstances, certain successes, situations that are going on. Things are going well. There's a lot of natural joy out there. Somebody gets married and they have joy. Somebody's married and they lose their joy. I'm not talking about believers, okay? Talking about unbelievers. So there's a lot of joy out there that's natural joy. It's just the joy of this world, and it's really interesting. But that's not the joy that Jesus Christ himself is talking about. He says, if you have my joy, you'll have a joy that's full. Reading Philippians, you'll see 18 times in the book of Philippians the word rejoice or joy. 18 times, rejoice or joy. And the word joy in the Greek language is directly connected to the word grace. One is C-H-A-R-A, the other is C-H-A-R-I-S, grace and joy. So a person that really is not a grace believer, legalism, whatever it might be, in their lives, I really wonder about the kind of joy they have. But Paul says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord. How often?
Always.
Really? Now, are you sure about that? What is he talking about? He's in prison. Epaphroditus, his next in line, is sick unto death. The Philippian church is being divided by, sorry to say this, two women. There is the Jews of the circumcision that are constantly coming at them. There's the Roman government in which they are under that rule and that colony per se. There's the Greeks with their wisdom and all of their culture and everything that's going on. And here they are in this place. And they're not a very large church. And they are told by the Apostle Paul, who's in prison, rejoice in the Lord always. If you didn't get it the first time, again I say rejoice. Again I say, I have to say that to myself a lot. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. And this is so key. The first message I heard from Dr. Stevens, and thank God for his ministry and his life. I don't care what anybody says. And don't we love Pastor Schaller? What a great pastor and man of God. And his family, thank you so much for walking with God. It's a great joy. I heard Pastor Stevens for the first time preach Psalm 16, verses 8 and 9. And he talked about not being moved. I have set the Lord before my face always. He is at my right hand, and I shall not be moved. And therefore, I have glory and the hope, and I have joy, and I'm glad. When I heard that message, I thought to myself, this is incredible. I never heard anything like that, ever. And it drew me into the ministry. It really drew me. That one message really drew me into the ministry. The joy of God. I have set the Lord before my face always. He is at my right hand. I will not be moved. And then there's going to be joy, and there's going to be the glory of that joy, the joy and the glory. And that's incredible. And so we can live lives, and we can look at great opportunities. It says three times in Luke chapter 15 that God had joy over one soul that repented, that changed. One soul. Can you imagine? One person. Look at this room, how much joy God has just in this room. There's so many people that have been converted and are saved and have led other people to Christ. The joy is incredible. So the angels have so much joy over one sinner that repents, one sinner that turns, one sinner that gets saved. What a joy. And I don't want to find myself seeking joy in things that are natural. I'm not saying this that it's sin or there's something wrong there, but a lot of people say, I got great joy, I got a job. Then they lose a job and they're miserable. Okay? We say in Spanish, I think we might say los miserables, just miserable. just miserable, just become miserable. Right? I'm healthy. Yeah! Amazing joy! I can't walk. I got joy. I got joy. I got a new job. Wow, joy. I lost my job. Miserables. Miserable. And I understand that. I'm not saying that, but I'm talking about I don't want to lose this inner joy that I have with Jesus Christ. There may be all kinds of outside circumstances. He's preaching this message and he's in prison. And he's saying to them, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And I love it. You know, I was thinking about the ministry here. I was thinking about Nehemiah 12, verse 43. It says the joy, they had great joy in the sacrifice, and God had made them to joy, and their families had joy together, and then the joy of Jerusalem was heard afar off. Isn't that a great verse? The joy of Jerusalem was heard afar off. That's mission. That's mission. Can you imagine if everything that people out there heard was, oh, there's just nothing but misery in the church. It's unbelievable. Sadness and misery and disgruntled. No. We have great joy, and this joy is going to travel. Amen? By the way, do you know what the gospel means in the Greek language? It talks about a message that cheers the ear of the hearer. Eugeolizo, it's an amazing word. It cheers the ear of the hearer. The gospel brings joy. You give the gospel to somebody. There's nothing like it when a person receives that gospel. In giving it out, you receive joy, and they receive it in joy, and you just have a joy party together. It's incredible what can take place. And I know you know that. I'm talking to the choir, as we've heard said a number of times. But we've got this great joy, and we have an opportunity to go into all the world. We have 802 churches now. So here he comes with his figures again. Well, I'm sorry. That's just what I do. Okay? And we're in 76 countries with 800 churches and over 30,000 people coming to church. See, how do you know that? You count them all? Yeah. I've been in so many places, I just count them. No, I know. I ask people, like, how many people, and put it together. 30,000 people in greater grace. Hello? Are you with me? I'm not too concerned about somebody that leaves. I love them, minister to them, want them. But you know what? 30,000 people going to church. It's amazing. 802 churches in all these countries. And so the joy that took place in Lenox and then is here is something that is heard where? Afar off. Amen? It's heard afar off. So here you are in India. I think in India, I think there's 240 churches, if I'm wrong. Correct me in the office later. Don't shout me down right now, okay? Give me a little break anyway. 240 churches, and can you imagine what can happen? These churches have this incredible word of God. I did find thy word and I ate it, and it was a joy and rejoicing to my soul because I'm called by thy name. I got the word of God, and they've got joy, and they're just bringing the message to India, and they're bringing it to Nepal. Look at these men right here. You're all from India, aren't you? Huh? Yeah, my wife's got on an Indian shirt tonight. Stand up. Isn't she amazing? Not an African shirt, an Indian shirt. Can you believe that one? But even that gives me joy. By the way, she's an amazing woman of God. To be with me since 1965, 59 years, are you kidding me? She gotta have God's joy. Where you going? I don't know. When you coming back? Not sure. Where are you now? I'm someplace. Have you eaten anything other than a crocodile? No, this is amazing. Joy. But I love the ministry. It's amazing. I love that this church is incredible. This ministry is incredible. What joy. But there's somebody who wants to steal it. He's called Satan. And you know what? It's unbelievable. He comes to steal joy, kill off the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and destroy rewards. Steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to take the joy away. That's how it begins. Taking the joy out of pastoring. Taking the joy out of soul winning. Taking the joy out of friendships and relationships. Taking the joy out of preaching. Taking the joy out of giving. Taking the joy out of fellowship. Take the joy. Steal the joy. You steal the joy, and that's where it begins. But you know what? We know a thief. Amen? We know a thief. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so, you're not taking my joy. Paul says, I'm going to finish my course, my race, with what?
Joy.
With joy. I plan to finish with joy. Amen? That doesn't mean once in a while you can't have a day or an hour or 5 seconds or a minute and a half where you're a little bit like living in Los Miserables, living in a little bit of misery. But we rebound and we bounce back, amen? And I know there's things that there's sorrow when we lose a loved one. There's sorrow when we take a look at what's happening in the world sometimes. But I'm saying there can be sorrow, but on the inside, inwardly, I have great joy because it's from the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is this author, incredible author of joy in our lives. So let's not let anything take it away. What happened to my? I got up and my seat was taken by somebody. How come they're in my parking place? What's going on? What's going on there? You know, what's happening here? What do you mean? I'm getting lowered in my salary at my job. What's going on? And all of a sudden, bingo, right? Or you go to church and you spend a long time and nobody gets saved. I remember in my first trip to Africa. When we were there, we were under four poles with branches, palm branches. And we were in an area where the wind kicked up. And I don't know if you know anything about dust, but you could just feel it in your teeth. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking to myself, there's nobody here. We're in a church service and there's Linda, Lisa, and Peter, and me. I can't even take an offering. I mean, that wouldn't work too well. Nobody comes. Nobody comes. And nobody comes. You know, it was amazing when Dr. Stevens stood there 4 years later. There was 1,200 people on that same piece of property. You know what? God has his timetable on results. And then I need to just continue to have joy regardless of what's happening. If there's nothing's going on, it's okay. It's not going to rob and steal my joy. All kinds of things are happening in lives. There's troubles, there's tests, there's trials, there's difficulties, there's hills to climb. There's a purpose, there's a calling, there's a cause. And you know what? Not going to rob my joy. Say it. Not going to rob my joy. Not going to rob my joy. I've got a joy that's unspeakable, 1 Peter 1:8, and full of glory. Not going to rob my joy. If you have a chance, read the book of Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. It talks about six things that happen. They're horrifying. He says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Yet I will joy in the God of my salvation. I was going to have Jesse Fires. Where are you? How far are you away? Come on up here for a minute. My last illustration as I close. Come on. Come on. Wait a minute. Now, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The word for joy is two different words in the Hebrew. One means to jump, and the other is to spin. So here's an illustration of that. I've done this before. Jump, and now jump and spin. Yeah! One more time. Get over here. One. Yeah! All right. He's saying, though the fig tree doesn't blossom, there's no fruit in the vine, there's no herd in the stalls, all these things are going on. He says, yet, nothing looks good in that portion of scripture. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Amen. We are born again. We're going to heaven. Hallelujah. We're going to heaven. We've got a church. We've got the body of Christ. We got a mission. We got a gospel. We got good news. We got real friends. Real friends. Friendships that are incredible. Marriages. I mean, think about it. A place for young people. A Christian school. We got Christians. We got ministries all over the world. 30,000 people coming to church now. Joy. Not moved. Say it. Not going to be moved. None of these things move me. I'm going to finish my course with joy. Joy. Father, thank you tonight. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joy. The joy of Jesus. If you have my joy, it'll be full. Jesus said it, my joy. And even when he talked about the cross, he said, for the joy that was set before me, I endured the cross. The joy was us, our salvation. Yes, he would be crucified. Yes, it would be unbelievable what he would have to go through. But we were the joy that was set before him. We thank you, God. Thank you. Help us in the midst of trouble, trials, tests, difficulties, things that are going on, to always be in a place where we're receiving the joy of the Holy Spirit, the joy of Jesus Christ. We thank you tonight. Bless our night tonight as we continue. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just a few words and then a prayer. Would you want to be seated? You're super energized. You want to stand. You want to jump and spin around. Christianity is the greatest gift to mankind. Christ is the greatest gift to a person. Christ coming. Yeah, it is. Human history would be very different without Christ. Christ is the greatest gift to people. And what we are seeing tonight is what Christ, for over 50 years or so of ministry, what Christ does in one heart somewhere in some big city, some barrio, ghetto, village, mountain region, prison cell, anywhere in the world. The greatest gift is that God loved the world so much that he did something about it. And we are rejoicing a lot. We have a great spirit of celebration. And we love this so much. Because behind every flag, every person, there's hundreds, if not thousands, of people that have heard a message and have believed, and it's been the greatest gift to a person. All right, a couple of points. How great is it? It has the greatest effect, the greatest forgiveness, forgiveness of sin, of the greatest sins, the worst sins that anybody could ever commit, ever think or execute, the worst sins, that Christ died for the sins of the whole world. That this is beyond us, that God Almighty came as a man, incarnated, to take our sin away. Thank you, God. How great is it? It's the greatest wisdom. You start talking. Now, when you raise your family and you tell your children about Christ and you share with love and you teach them in Sunday school and we teach them the faith and they learn, this is the greatest wisdom that anybody could ever have. It's the wisdom that comes from God. It's wisdom from above. What are we doing? It's called the Great Commission, the great gift, the great Holy Spirit, the greatest Spirit, the only Spirit that has any wisdom, who is God, the Holy Spirit that comes into a person. In some small place in Cambodia, or a faraway place in India, or far away in the mountains in Pakistan or Afghanistan. The greatest gift, the greatest comfort. We have two places of war represented here tonight. Two war, Israel and Gaza. Gaza. Here I want to say we don't forget Israel in our prayer, and also Palestinian Christians, our brothers and sisters that are awesome believers, that are also, we pray for them, Palestinian Christians who are in a very difficult place, as well as we pray for the war itself, of course, and peace on Israel. The other place of conflict is Ukraine. We pray for Ukraine all the time, every day. And also, secondly, our brothers and sisters in greater grace in Russia, who have a mission to bring the greatest gift, Christianity, the message of Christ, the Holy Spirit, greatest wisdom for the greatest purpose that comes into the heart of a person, eternal purpose. What are we celebrating? What we're celebrating, the miracle of God, that God cares about human beings. And he has a ministry, and you have a ministry. Okay, lastly, and thanks, Pastor Shabelli, for that amazing message on joy. Wow, that I feel that too. I feel that spirit of God. Thank you for your prayers for our country, prayers for our vision, our mission, our work. It's fantastic. And we have that joy. Praise the Lord. That's a gift. And thank you for coming this week. Okay. Connection with each other. Love. Our kids, our teenagers, our churches need to know, by God's grace, the anointing of God, the Spirit of God in our assembly. And because it's the little ones. One of the things about this week that has blessed me is the next generation. Some of us are in our 70s, and we're looking into the future, and we see the generation of the 50-year-old guys, 40-year-old, 50-year-old guys that are going to take over. Have you ever heard of Moody Church in Chicago? Do you know how many transitions they've had from D.L. Moody? Seven. Seven pastors, seven, and they're evangelical and they're Bible teaching, 150 years. How long are we going to last? Right? How long are we going to let? Till Jesus comes back, I hope. Amen. And I think he's coming back tomorrow. I think he's coming back. But you know what? When they told Martin Luther, they asked him a question. What would you know? What would you do if you knew Jesus was coming tomorrow? He said, I'd plant a tree. My life, I'm going forward with my life. I'm not sleeping. I'm awake. I'm in life. I'm going to take care of my kids. Don't get distracted with our culture. Be wise in a foolish time. Be fervent. Draw near to your local church. Pray for your pastor. Love people. Get on the phone for prayer meeting in the morning. Open your Bible. Learn to read your Bible and be involved with your Bible and be right connected with the Spirit of God, what the Spirit of God is saying. The amazing thing about us here, too, is that we are connected in our hearts and our minds. We speak the same things. We do. We speak the same things. One Nepali pastor said, I listen to you in the morning devotional, and I take that thought, and I go and I preach a whole message on it. What you say in 7 minutes, I preach for an hour. What's the meaning? A seed thought, a word. We're saying the same things in parts of the world. It's not me. It's not that. I don't mean that. It's not us. We are part, a small part of something that God is doing around the world. And that is that Jesus Christ is being exalted. He walks amongst his candlesticks. He cares about his people. He cares about the children. And then the last thing is, pray that people will say, I want to do this. I want to minister. I want to learn about it. Zsombor, the Hungarian who spoke in the beginning of this, said it so well. And it was precious just to see him standing up here. We married his parents before he was ever born. Of course, you know, they got married. Hallelujah. He was born after they were married. Okay, so, but yeah, it's so beautiful to hear the sound of Chris Armin and James Adidas and Bailey Norman and Justin and many others. And it's so good to hear the sound and believe that the Spirit people are learning to hear. And then our children and grandchildren have a home and they learn this is normal. These are great relationships. These are relationships of great value. Christianity is the greatest religion in the world because it is the gift of God to us to have a church, to have love, to have fellowship, to forgive, to love our enemies, to care for people who don't understand us, and to love them and to have something to share with people that are different from us. People are different. Great. Life is filled with variety. But we have a great God with a great love, with great forgiveness, and a great care for people. And a mission that works anywhere. The people in Turkmenistan, when they walked across, I don't remember who was carrying the sticks, but the country means something to me because years ago we went there. And they said to me, they said, you know, we don't have much. It's a desert country, 157 degrees Fahrenheit in the desert, okay? The hot winds from the mountains of Iran blow down into the country like a blast furnace. It's very hot, desert country. And clothes is the second most clothes country in the world. North Korea is the first one. Turkmenistan is the second one. Okay, years ago we went there when it was open and planted a church there. I mean, our people did. And I was living there for a little while, just a short time. But they said, you know, if you come as an American to our country and you taught us about prosperity doctrine, we wouldn't care about it because we don't have any prosperity. If you came to our country and you were all excited like the American way of excitement and rah-rah, it wouldn't work. We're so quiet. We're so empty. We don't understand that. There is nothing like that. We are not like that. That's not our culture. But you came and you gave us Christ. And we heard that. And it touched our hearts. Pastor Gromo lived there. And it touched our, glory be to God for you, how God used so many that are not here tonight, that Pastor Gromo lived there. And the work that Pastor Mati did through those years when the Soviet Union opened up. In 10 years, we had 24 different cities in the former Soviet bloc countries with church plants going on. And many of the people, Pastor Julian is here, and so many people, many unspoken, but just to say, I love our message. It works anywhere because it's Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the grace of God. And I want to encourage us Americans and everywhere where we come from, tell your children to be a missionary is a great honor. You can't do it on your own, but God is our sufficiency. Tell your teenagers to go for it and think about it and pray about it and go for it. And then just tell our churches to be involved in it and that we would send laborers to parts of the world and bring the gospel. And maybe someone here today, you might be thinking about it. Maybe it's in your heart. If it is, let it sit there and cook. You can share it, but most importantly, bring it before God and let it just cook there. And say, Lord, I want to keep this, and please lead me. Next step. It'll cost you something. It costs you something. You have to give up Isaac, put him on the altar. You have to give up your mom and dad and your hometown. I come from a small town up in New York. And I could see myself staying there all my life and visiting the local bar room and talking about my high school days and just living in that life, fishing in a creek or something. I could see my life having a job and driving a car and just living a normal life like that, like we all can think. But you got to give it up. Can you give up your hometown? Can you give up your country? Can you give up your family? Can you give up your career? Can you give up your money? Can you give up your life, your future, your family? Can you give up your plan to live in Montana and have a horse farm or be sunbathing in Florida? Can you give up your plan? Can you give up your life in New York City? Your life in your company, or can you give up your life? Can you do it? And that's between you and God. But you can't do this unless you lose your life. But if you lose your life, you'll gain your life. Hundredfold, Jesus said. Hundredfold. Thousands of sisters and brothers and mothers and houses and lands that I will give you. Who gave it? Jesus gave it. What is this? The greatest religion in the world. What do you mean? It's Christ himself. What is the wisdom of it? It is the Bible speaking in our heart. What is the spirit of it? It is the Holy Spirit. What's the purpose? It's to serve and glorify God. What's the end game? Eternal life. What's the effect of your life? It's up to you. Give it to Jesus. Okay, amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, this glorifies you. Nobody Nobody that sowed, nobody that watered, nobody that planted gets any glory in this. It's God that gave the increase. None of us, nobody. We know it. We know it. We couldn't get out of bed unless you gave us life. We couldn't speak a word unless you moved our tongue. We couldn't stand upright unless you gave us a heartbeat. We couldn't think a thought in our brain of mush unless your Holy Spirit and your health and your life gave us a thought that made sense. And all that we see tonight is from you. It's for your glory. It's through your Son. Your Son did this. This is your bride. Your Son, Christ, God Almighty, has visited us in our churches and has spoken to us in our hearts. And we thank you. And everybody behind all of these flags and all of these countries that are simple, loving people that have found Jesus, they are the result of you giving the increase. People waking up in Colombia, people going to bed in waking up in the Philippines and in China, another country that, where great things are happening. And then you are speaking to them. We thank you that we are part of it. Sometimes we are broken deeply for it. Thank you for it. And all the people that help make it happen by their prayers and their money and their love and their service. Give us a great year, Lord. Please bless your people in your name. Amen.